You'll turn to God's Word, to Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46. We come this morning to look at this passage from verse 28 down into chapter 47 and verse 12. Living in the world. That's the title of the sermon this morning, Living in the World. Jacob and his sons, they are arriving in Egypt. And in verse 11 of chapter 47, we are told that they are going to settle there. Egypt is a foreign land. In Egypt, they worship many gods. They have practices that go against the way the true God would have his people live. And this chosen, special family, they're going to be strangers in this land. They're going to be living in a place that isn't really their home. All the while they're in Egypt, they're going to be longing for their true home. God's covenant promises and God's covenant love are at the center of every believer's life. In the Old Testament, these promises included physical symbols or illustrations that pointed to the spiritual promises. One of the physical symbols was the land. The land of Canaan pointed to the true spiritual home that God's people have in Christ Jesus. Through Christ, God the Father has given us covenant promises. Covenant promises of new life, of a new home, of a new family. And God's steadfast covenant love, it has called us from one kingdom into his kingdom that we might have these promises, that they might be ours. But like Jacob and his sons, we are still living in a world that is not our true home. Our true home is still to come. The new heavens and the new earth. This fallen world, this world that we are living in today, this is not our true home. But for a time, we are passing through. For a time, we are foreigners and strangers here. Because our home is elsewhere. Our home is still to come. The new heavens and the new earth, just as God has promised. And so the question is, how do we live in this world? How do we live as strangers here? Well, this next section in the life of God's special covenant people, as we see them living in Egypt, it helps us to live in this Egypt. It helps us to live in this world, whether it be Kalibaki, Ballymena, Galway, Nantes, wherever it may be. This is how we are to live as strangers in the world. Well, let's look at this passage before us. And we see firstly here, we live in this world through one who controls the king's hearts. We live in this world through one who controls the king's hearts. As we were reading Genesis 46, we would expect the meeting between Jacob and his son Joseph to be the climax of a great story. The aging father who's been longing for his son. Joseph the slave, now turned ruler, who's been separated from his father. If Hollywood was making this into a movie, they would end up here. Jacob throwing his arms open wide. Joseph throwing himself onto his father. Both of them weeping for a long time. And then it would be the closing credits of the movie. But this is God's word. God's word has a different focus for us. The meeting between these two men, it's all over in two verses. They meet, they hug, they cry for a long time, and Jacob says, "Now I have seen my son alive, I can die." It seems strange that such an important and emotional meeting should slip by as a footnote. But it does so because there is more important business at hand. Joseph is keen to get his father and his brother settled properly in Egypt. He is keen to get a place for them where they can be kept safe and where they can prosper. There is much that needs to be done. And all of it is going to happen through Joseph. Joseph is going to make sure that Pharaoh places this family in Goshen. Joseph is going to advise and direct the situation. Joseph is the one who's going to pull the strings. Because of Joseph, Pharaoh is going to show favor to this chosen family. Look at Joseph in this section before us. Remember, this is Zaphnath-Paneah, great, mighty Joseph, the mighty ruler, the majestic one. We're told that Judah goes before his family to Joseph so that he can show them the way to Goshen. And when Joseph hears that his father Jacob has arrived, he prepares his chariot. And he rides out quickly to meet his father Israel. We have the words, he presented himself to his father in verse 29. Or he appeared to his father. The only other times this phrase or this verb appeared or presented himself is used in Genesis is when God is appearing to his people. When God appeared. When God presented himself. We're told here that the appearance of Joseph, it's majestic. It's powerful. Imagine the scene. Jacob has arrived down from Canaan. His little boy, 16, 17-year-old Joseph, the last time he saw him, he was wearing a nice robe, but he was a shepherd boy. And now he's riding on the second best chariot in the whole of the Egyptian Empire. And he's dressed in the second best finery that the empire has. And he's riding alongside his servant and other chariots. This is a majestic scene of a glorious ruler coming towards his father, powerful Joseph. And yet, what does Joseph say in verse 31? I will tell Pharaoh, my brothers and my father's household have arrived. He is one of the family. This majestic ruler is their brother. And this majestic ruler is going to direct Pharaoh as to where they should settle. He's going to ensure that this family is kept safe in Egypt. He's going to make sure that Pharaoh gets it right for this family. And the brothers can depend on Joseph. This kingly one, who is also a bone of their bones and flesh of their flesh, this kingly one who is also their brother, they can depend on him and know that he will make them dwell in safety in this land. Because through Joseph, Pharaoh's decisions will be directed. As God's chosen people, as his covenant family, we are strangers in this world. But we dwell here because of one who controls the king's hearts. We live in this world at the directive of our glorious king and our brother, Jesus Christ. And our majestic king and brother, he has a place for us in this world. He has a place where we can dwell for a time as we look forward to our eternal home in the new heavens and the new earth. And our king and our brother, he prepares places for us to dwell where we can settle, where we can be under his care. He has us in this corner of Kalibaki. We are here because our king and our brother has directed us to here. And the heart of our leaders and our rulers is in his hands. His people in our nation, we are here because he has directed us to be here. He has his church in its place in the United Kingdom, in Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. We are here because he directs the hearts of kings and leaders and rulers. Well, what about our brothers and sisters who live in fear of persecution day in and day out? Will they dwell in those places as pilgrims and as strangers in those countries by the directive of their King and brother Jesus Christ? And he has a place for them there. And he has directed them to there. Hearts, minds of the rulers are in his hands. Boys and girls, why are you in the school in which you are in? Why are you in the family in which you are in? It is because Jesus Christ has a place for you. He has chosen that place. And he is in control. And he has directed you to that place. Why are you in your job? Why are you in that place of employment? Why are you in that family? Why are you in that home on that street? Why are you in that sports club, that men's meeting place, that woman's gathering? Jesus Christ directs. Jesus Christ controls. He has a place for us as we are passing through. We're going to think in a moment of the reason for why he has us in that place. But know that he directs the minds and the hearts of teachers, of bosses, of family members. They're in his hands. And he makes us dwell where he would have us be placed. We live in this world through one who controls the king's hearts. But then secondly, we live in this world with the wisdom he calls us to have. We live in this world with the wisdom that he calls us to have. Joseph takes time to instruct his brothers here in Genesis. He instructs them as to what to say to Pharaoh. They're to explain that they are shepherds. They're to say that they have their flocks and their herds with them. And so Joseph takes five of his brothers and he goes to meet Pharaoh. What do the brothers do? They do what Joseph tells them to do. Look at how they behave in Egypt. They come before Pharaoh and they say, "Your servants." They are respectful. They are sincere. They are humble. They don't come in expecting that because they are God's chosen people, they will lord it over the Egyptians and Pharaoh. They don't come in saying, "Look at us. Look how big our family is. Look how strong we are." And they don't bulldoze their way into Egypt. They come with meekness. They come with humility. They come with great wisdom. The brothers weren't always like that. Back in Canaan, they had exercised their strength. At times they lorded it over others. The incident with their sister Dinah in chapter 34 is a good example of that. There was no wisdom in their behavior back then. But now, these brothers are showing us how they are going to dwell in Egypt. They're going to live wisely. They're going to interact with their world in humility and with respect. Gone are the days of wild behavior and seeking vengeance. Gone are the days of pride and arrogance. And friends, this is how we are to live in this world. This is how we are to live as Christ's people before rulers and leaders. We're to live with humility, with reverence, with wisdom. We are to respect those in authority over us, whether it be teachers, that boss that always comes down hard on us, parents, our MPs. As Christ's people, we're to seek not to be a burden or a drain on our nation. We're not to appear arrogant, full of pride. Jacob's family come in and they are prepared to work hard for their living. They are prepared to live within their means and support themselves. They are just sojourners in the land. They are just passing through. And so they're not going to stake any claim for themselves. As we live in this world, let us remember that we are just passing through. We're passing through to the promised new heavens and the new earth. We are to live wisely. We're to live with wisdom. Just as we've been looking at the book of Proverbs. That's how we are to live in this world as we pass through. We're to live in humility and respect to others. We're to speak in a way of humility and respect. Live in such a way as to show that we are not here to grab and take and prosper ourselves. Live in such a way that we are showing the world we are only here for a short time. We are looking to a better land, and do it with humility, reverence, and respect. We are to live in this world through one who has the king's heart in his hand. We live in this world with the wisdom that we've been given. And thirdly, we are to live in this world to be a blessing to the nations. We live in this world to be a blessing to the nations. Pharaoh has granted the brothers' request. And then in verse 7, we are told that Joseph brings in his father, Jacob. This must be one of the most astounding meetings. Think of who Pharaoh is. This is great, mighty Pharaoh. This is the ruler of the known world. Egyptians believed that he was the human form of the god Ra, the sun god. That's who Pharaoh is, the most powerful man in the world. Look around him. All you do is have to look at his palaces, because he had more than one. Look at the building work that has gone on under the pharaohs in Egypt. Look at his servants, his slaves. Look at his chariots. Look at his army. Look at this man dressed as a god king. And then who comes in? In hobbles old Jacob. He's old, frail farmer. He still has his hip problem. Read verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, stood him before Pharaoh. Then what happens? Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Look at verse 10. Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Let me read to you Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7. The inferior is blessed by the superior. The inferior is blessed by the superior. Blessing comes from the greater to the lesser. Who is the greatest person in this meeting? Jacob. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Jacob knows the promises of God. You shall be a blessing to the nations. And here in Egypt, old, frail Jacob shows that he is a man of great privilege. He is a man who has the covenant love of God placed on him. He knows what it means to belong to a better kingdom, a richer kingdom, a more glorious kingdom. An old, frail Jacob at 130 years of age, he knows that he has greater spiritual wealth than the man standing before him. He knows he has riches beyond the walls of the palaces, beyond the banks of the Nile, because Jacob is a son of God. This old man reaches out his hand and he blesses Pharaoh. As we live in the world, we are to be a blessing to those around us. We are in a privileged position. We are heirs to the new heavens and the new earth. And we're not to be intimidated by those who appear to be more important. But in humility and in respect, we are to be a blessing to them. Well, how can we do this? Well, we do it by being salt and light where God has us placed. We do it by bearing witness to the glory of God and the riches of God that we have in Christ Jesus. We are a blessing to those around us by speaking of our great Savior and King and brother. We do it by making clear to the world that we are just passing through, but that we have an eternal home. That's what Jacob is doing to Pharaoh. I am just a sojourner. I'm just passing through. I have a richer place, a greater home. We are to be a blessing to those around us. We're to pray for those around us. Ask yourself a question. What would my place of work be like if all the Christians were removed? What would your place of work be like if you were not there as a Christian, as a believer? What would your school be like for the boys and girls? What would your school be like if all the Christians were taken out of it? If there were no Christians there? What would my family be like if all the believers were to leave? What would our village be like if all the churches up and left? We have been placed here for a reason. And that is to be a blessing to those around us. We're a blessing to those around us when we live for Christ, when we witness for Christ, when we show people that we are here just passing through. We live in this world to be a blessing to the nations. And friends, if we were not here, there would be no blessing to the nations. We are here to be a blessing. Fourthly and finally, we live in this world provided with what we need. We live in this world and we're provided with what we need. Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 47. Jacob, his sons and their families are provided with land and with food according to what they require. Goshen was set aside for Jacob and his family. This area in the northeast of Egypt, it was a secure area. It was ideal. It kept Jacob and his sons together. It kept them from straying off into Egypt and assimilating with the Egyptians or being affected by the Egyptian culture. Goshen was ideal for their flocks and their herds. It kept the family safe. It was also the ideal place if they ever had to leave Egypt quickly. So maybe 400 years later, Goshen was the ideal place to leave Egypt. But it's the place that was for them, and there they were provided for. Every detail was accounted for. Every member of the family had enough. Look at the care that Joseph gives to his brothers' families. Right down to the youngest, the smallest, the least able. They are all cared for and provided for according to the number of their dependents. That means no one was left out. Everyone had enough. Everyone was provided for. Of course, all of these provisions ultimately come from God. He has provided for his chosen special family as they are strangers in Egypt, as they are just passing through. But they have everything they need. They're kept safe. And God hasn't changed. It's the same today. God provides for us everything that we need to live in this world. He gives to us. He provides places where we can be kept together. This is one such place, our church family, where we can come and find encouragement and strength, and where the culture of the world outside, where the influence of the world outside, where it can be kept at bay, where our children and young people can be protected and trained and taught. This is one such place that he has provided. And he provides from the youngest to the oldest, for the least able to the most able, according to the number of their dependents. Not one of us is left out. God provides for us. He provides for us so that we can live in this world, the world that we are just passing through. He provides for us so that we can be a blessing to the nations around us. He provides for us so that we can know how to live wisely in this world as we are passing through. And ultimately, He has provided Christ Jesus, the one who leads and guides. As we look forward, not to a home here on earth, but to our eternal home, the new heavens and the new earth. We are strangers in this world, but let us remember we have one who controls the heart of kings. We live in this world with wisdom. We're to be a blessing to others, and we are to know that God provides. In the world, but not of it. Amen.